If you would please take your copies of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Psalms, number 73. We'll read some selected verses of Psalm 73. This is autobiographical. Asaph, one of the leaders in temple worship, telling us about his spiritual fall and recovery. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then in the following verses, he goes on to speak about the apparently careless, free, luxurious life enjoyed by wicked people in the world. And then down to verse 13. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by tares. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant, I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Now, we've been considering the recommendation of our Puritan forefathers written in the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 175, that one of the best ways to continually enjoy blessing as we come to the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves personally after we have participated. So maybe sometime Sunday afternoon or some Sunday evening or Monday morning in your devotions, to look back at this time that we've spent at the table and just examine our lives and see whether there's been spiritual success or rather if it's been, a negative experience. Now, one of the difficulties we face, if we're going to take up this time of personal examination, is asking the question, what am I looking for? If I'm going to examine my heart, and if I'm going to examine my experience at the Lord's Supper, what should I be looking for? It's surely one thing to examine ourselves, but we might be looking at the wrong things, and so our conclusions might not be helpful at all. And so they give us, in the answer to this question about examination of our experience at the Lord's table, something of a list, both of positive things to look for and negative things. What can we look for to encourage us? What should we be aware of that should concern us? So this morning, I want us to think about the elements of a positive spiritual experience at the Lord's table. If you were to be asked the question, someone come up to you, how was the Lord's table this morning? Oh, it was great. Well, t- Tell me about that. What was great about it? What should we be looking for? The elements of a positive spiritual experience at the Lord's table. The catechism writers summarize a positive spiritual experience under these two terms: if they find quickening and comfort. If they find quickening and comfort. As these pastors understood their Bibles, they were looking for these two things in the lives of God's people. Were they being quickened at the Lord's table? Were they being comforted at the Lord's table? I believe these are some excellent things for us to consider as we think about our Lord's Supper experience. So let's first ask the question, we come to the Lord's table, are we being quickened? No, here is the recognition of our spiritual struggles through the course of the previous week. We all know by experience, and God's word certainly makes it very plain to us, we are fighting a spiritual warfare every day against the world, against the devil, and against our own flesh. We have an enemy inside the camp. And that makes for a real spiritual battle every day. Thankfully, not every day is as bad as it could be. But the battle is always there. And so as we come to worship on the Lord's day, and gather at the supper, we may often feel beaten down, spiritually exhausted, or just tired and dull. And we need spiritual quickening. We need fresh infusions of spiritual life. We need spiritual revival and renewal in our souls. And as one of the appointed means of grace that God has given to us, the Lord's table experience should be a spiritual tool to promote our quickening, to stir up spiritual life and help us on our way to heaven. It does this by bringing us back to the central focus of the gospel. It reminds us about the things that are most important in our lives. It raises our spiritual sensitivities to the Lord Jesus Christ and to think about his work on our behalf. At this table, we're taken from the physical realities that often demand our attention through the course of the week, and we see spiritual, eternal realities. Now, just think about that quickening as it's reflected in the life of this man, Asaph, that we've just talked about. Here is a man who is fighting the spiritual warfare, and he was losing big time. He was experiencing some troubles and difficulties in his own life, and he looked out at the people in the world. Well, they looked like they were prospering, they were well off, they were having an easy time of it, everything seemed to be coming up roses for them. And he began to ask himself the question, why should I worship God? Why should I serve the Lord and suffer? And those people out there, they don't give a hoot about God. And look at their life. It's easy and peaceful, and they're just going along so nicely. He said, until I came to the worship of God. I came into the temple, and Asaph experienced a spiritual quickening. His mind again came to realize, all those people out there with no time for God, they seem to have it easy now. But judgment is coming, and they're going to experience the wrath of God and an eternity in hell forever. What was I thinking to be envious of them? And then he gets his eyes set upon God, and he begins to say some of the most beautiful things about devotion to God and recognizing, what can you have in the world that can possibly be as good as having a relationship with the living God. Of all the good things in heaven, of all the good things in this earth, there's nothing like a relationship with God. What was I thinking? You see, he experienced a spiritual quickening. He'd been in the battle through the course of the week, and he was going down. And then he came to worship. And then this new life, as it were, came into his soul. And he was reoriented in his relationship to God. Of course, what we want most of all as we come to the table is the powerful ministry of the Spirit of God. Worship shouldn't be simply about physical things. It's not merely physical actions and physical elements that we take and eat and drink, or singing words and tunes and making prayers. It's about the heart before God. And in our hearts, we want this ministry of the Holy Spirit, making us alive to these spiritual realities, leading us as sinners to trust in the Lord Jesus and love him with all of our hearts, causing this supper of remembrance to be one that overflows with thanksgiving and joy. So, are we being spiritually quickened as we come to the table? That's one of the things to look for as you examine your experience here. How is it with your spiritual life? Do you come out of the week, you come to the Lord's table, and then it's like a boost of spiritual energy? God brings you up again, and you're on that narrow path, you're going to heaven with renewed zeal. Are you being quickened? But then secondly, are we being comforted? Are we being comforted? The need for comfort is essential to our ongoing Christian lives. For we are not simply people with hectic lives who often experience difficulties that discourage us. We are sinners. Although we have experienced the amazing grace of God, we continue to sin and we continue to stray from our God. We are those who have been brought to humbly submit to these familiar words of the Apostle John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, John doesn't deal directly with our emotional responses to these issues of sin in our lives, but the Bible makes it plain. And if you are living honestly before God, you know it is true that sin brings grief into your life. It's the constant aggravation. It causes us to hang our heads in shame that having received the blessings of Calvary, we could continue to sin. How can we do that? How often have you asked the question at the Lord's table or in a church service, what right do I have to be here? Should I even be here participating? Who am I? We plead these words of John before the Lord. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. And we have to bring those words to God over and over again. Sometimes we might even be tempted to think that we're using them too often. Am I misusing grace? The Lord's Supper is intended to bring God's people great comfort as we focus upon the sacrifice of Christ and the means of our acceptance before God. Here we are confronted with the great gospel truths that bring spiritual medicine to the soul to heal our broken lives. Texts like, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And to take that spiritual balm and say, God loves me. God sent the Lord Jesus into the world to die for me. For me, when he knew everything that I would ever do, he did that for me. We have a passage like 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And we think about that great exchange that has taken place in the gospel. My sins placed on Christ, every one of them, until the day of my last breath. And the righteousness of the Lord Jesus placed on my account, so that I can stand before God and be completely accepted. There's nothing in between. Or those wonderful words of Paul writing to the Ephesians. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Washed clean with the blood of Jesus. Every word, every vile thought, every sinful action cleaned out completely by the Lord Jesus. And as we think about those gospel realities when we come to this table, God is intending to bring comfort to our hearts. Have you sinned this past week? Yes. Have you blown it this past week? Yes. Have you been grieved in your heart because of sin this past week? Yes. But we come to this table and God says, take heart. I love you. I gave my son to die for all of your sins. You are accepted at my throne. So here's the second question. Are you being comforted at the Lord's table? These are the issues for personal examination of a positive spiritual experience. This afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning, whenever you do it, as you examine your time here, ask these questions. Was I quickened spiritually? And was I comforted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you that you've given us this wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper, to behold the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus our eyes upon him and his glorious sacrifice for us, and to receive these benefits in our souls of spiritual quickening and gospel comfort. Please, our God, make these things happen today, that we in return would glorify your holy name for your goodness to us through your Son. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.